Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guests, relationship coaches and spiritual psychologists, Jen and Monica Sands.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, David Young. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
It is getting close to Valentine's Day, and the talk of quote-unquote love and relationships and all of that is in the air. And I am so glad that we have Jen and Monica Sands on the show today because we get to have a conversation that matters around relationships. We've called the show Our Relationships Define Our Experiences, and I'm so glad that we did. It's actually a quote right out of Monica and Jan's website. And when we saw that, we thought, that's the title of the show. And then we got to talking to them about it. And it's interesting that I had an experience very, very recently, and talking with them helped me understand why my experience was different. I knew my experience was different, but I didn't know why. And this is what happened. So I was going to a play with a friend not too long ago. And it was in downtown LA, and this friend of mine calls me 5 minutes before the play was supposed to start, and I'm waiting outside the ticket office, and my friend says, go ahead and go inside. It looks like I won't arrive till after the play starts, and I don't want you to miss it. And I can say that in the past, I would say, I can't believe you're late, or why did you do this? Or I might say something like, you always do this, or something like that. For some reason, I said, no, that's okay. I'm all right. I'll just wait for you. And my friend said, I don't want you to miss the beginning of the play because of me. And I said, I'm here to see the play with you. So I will wait for you, and we will see the play, as much of it as we see, together. Now, this is one of the first times I've said something like that in relationship to something like this. And let me tell you that once my friend arrived, and we did miss, I don't know, 15 minutes of the play or so, but the experience we had was so much better than I know it would have been. And I knew that I had something to do with it, but our relationships define our experiences. The relationship that I had with that oh my gosh, I don't want to get into it because I think they are. Right? They're nodding their heads like, yeah, no, we could tell you. Okay, I'm gonna let them tell us when we get back with Jen and Monica Sands, and a little later on, live music with flutist and musical healer David Young, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere. And Mark, yes, hello.
Boy, you said a lot with that big sigh. Yeah, I wish we would have had this show 48 years ago.
Yeah, right? Right.
And to think I had good parents. Mm. And I know a lot of people that had even more challenging circumstances. Yeah. But as much as they didn't grow up, I didn't learn how to relate.
Right.
Or I learned a lot of ways that maybe aren't the best ways to relate.
Yeah.
So took me a
I'm
long
not
road.
Saying,
to
yeah.
I was going to say, where are you going with that?
I mean, like, I understand.
Head, so, but, right. Yeah. No, I'm really, really excited to share this with our audience today.
You know, really good point. And I believe everybody's doing the best they know how, or at least they try. But maybe they don't know what we're going to learn or what we've learned along the way. So Jan and Monica Zanz are both life coaches. They're both relationship coaches. They both have degrees in spiritual psychology. And so we're happy to have them here to talk about our relationships, define our experiences. Welcome, Jan and Monica Zanz, to the show.
Thank you so much. We're so happy to be here.
We're happy to have you both here. And you've been nodding your heads since the moment I said that I started talking. So what do you want to say on it?
Well, one of the things that you're going to learn is that we each have our own perspective.
Oh, great.
And so while you're telling the story,
yes,
I have what's going on in my mind and what I'm hearing and all the different ways where we could go with this conversation.
Uh-huh.
And she probably has her own path.
Uh-huh.
So we might actually just cover that story from a few different perspectives.
Because at one point, probably one of you was me and one of you was my friend, right?
For sure. Right. For sure.
Or you trade places. I mean, I guess it depends on the situation. But Jan, since you started talking, go ahead. I want to hear.
Well, what I really heard, one of the things that we teach people in relationship is that a fundamental need is to be heard, to be seen, to be gotten, to be understood, to be loved.
Yeah.
And that's often when people communicate, they're often so intent on having you hear what their point is that they're not listening to your point. And so I'm just like, I'm not in your world. I just really like an argument often is I'm going to keep telling you what my perspective is and what's important to me. And I'm going to keep saying it until you hear it. And I'm not listening to what you have to say.
Right.
And we teach people to really stop and listen to the other person. And your friend probably didn't feel good about being late and probably didn't feel good about having you miss it. You know, the beginning of the show.
Right.
But the fact that you validated them and you said, listen, I'm here to be here with you and it's okay. They probably felt seen. They probably felt loved and understood. And the result was a wonderful time. So great job.
And when they showed up, the bashing that they probably did in the car, in the traffic, then having to park and that negative self-talk that they had, if they had shown up and then had to sneak in late, they wouldn't have gotten the hug, the hello, the reassurance, like, thank goodness we're here together. This is so awesome.
Nice.
And instead, what you did is validate you matter more than whatever 5 minutes or 10 minutes we're going to miss of something.
Yeah.
And you also
15,
may have,
but who's
15, right? You also may have validated that they operate in their life in a certain way. And they get away with it because they tell people, go ahead without me.
Oh.
And then they have this experience inside of them, I'm always left behind.
Oh.
And they don't realize that they're perpetuating their own story because they create that reality.
Wow.
And then you validated, like, no, 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 you're important. I'm here to be with you. And now that story isn't 100% true anymore for them.
Wow.
And if you can go back and see the play again with so that you can catch up on the first 15 minutes. Yeah. You get double the experience.
Sure.
Right. And speaking of, I mean, we can go on. You're right, Jan. We can go on and on with this because now they might be able to break a pattern. What, Monica? She's pointing at me.
This is audio.
It's
the
audio. They can't see
so
us.
Well.
Tell us.
I don't want to interrupt, but you know, when we are dealing with how we're brought up, so Mark, you were talking about how, you know, you had good parents, but still challenges, and had you known certain things 48 years ago, it might have shifted the direction of choices you made.
Right.
So often we have these patterns that are ingrained between the age of 3 and 7 in our life, and then we operate from a 7-year-old or 5-year-old's perspective, and we keep doing the same thing and the same thing and the same thing over, and then we don't realize that the 5-year-old is having the temper tantrum, and the 5-year-old is the one reacting, and the 5-year-old is asking for love but doesn't know how to ask because it's in an adult body, often hidden down inside the deep caverns that are somewhere we don't know how to find, and yet somehow they get touched and tapped by a conversation. How many times did your friend have the conversation, don't worry, go ahead without me? The person goes ahead without them, and maybe they don't even show up because they're like, you know what, I couldn't get there in time. And it's like this whole negative talk that has a person feel like, I'm not good enough.
So I'm listening to you all, and it's obvious to me that you all had it all figured out from the very beginning.
No.
We're laughing for a reason.
Yeah, I think we all are.
Yeah.
Because we know, first of all, that doesn't exist, right?
No.
There's nobody that knows all.
Well, maybe somebody. But I haven't met them yet.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to take it off the planet. Like, there are people that know some things that, man, they've been around a few times.
And actually, if I may jump in.
Yes.
Potentially, when we're born, we do know.
Mm.
And then life happens, and we seem to forget. And then we replace it with other beliefs and other truths.
Mm.
And that's a lot of the work that we do is we help people remove the limiting beliefs and the misunderstandings that they've created as truths that occurred when they were in a time of how do I survive or how do I cope or how do I get love at 5 or 6 years old.
Our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, likes to say that she's a wounded healer in the sense that the best healers are the ones that were wounded and then they found out how to heal themselves. So how does that apply to the two of you? They're looking at each other. That's so sweet.
What is the story going to be?
We've had very, very different upbringings, both from loving households, but both households that demonstrated that love differently. I remember, and I tell this story sometimes so she knows where I'm going. We were at a dinner with another couple, and we were talking about our upbringings and what it was like growing up and what it looked like when our parents argued. And so one person shared it was yelling and screaming. Another one shared there was sometimes like pushing. And each person shared what they saw. Mm. And it came to me, and I said, I don't really remember. I don't think I've seen my parents have a lot of arguments.
Mm.
And they all looked at me and said, you are so messed up.
Yeah, because what happens is if you don't acknowledge or don't see things that are conflict, then you don't know how to navigate it. So jump then to our relationship. Yeah. We start dating, UCLA, where I'm 18 years old. We meet on the sailing team, and he's this relatively quiet guy, and we start dating, and all of a sudden I get upset about something and he thinks the relationship's over. And I'm like, this is every day of my life.
Oh.
I grew up in a household where someone was yelling about something at some point.
Mm.
And I had never learned conflict and resolution.
Oh.
So
wow.
My parents, who are beautiful and wonderful and still in an incredible marriage today, they just showed me one way of doing relationship that then when I got into our relationship, the way that I had learned didn't work anymore. And I thought that every day was supposed to be, they were so intent on me being happy all the time. And I had a lot of pressure to be happy and perfect all the time.
Mm.
So that way, when we got into a relationship and suddenly, I mean, we may tell more of our story.
I was not perfect. I was not happy. And I was very vocal about it.
And our first year of marriage was not working. I felt like the world was ending.
Did you say something to the effect, Jan? Did you say to Monica, like, is this it? Are we over? Like, did you really think it was over? Like,
We'll share a little bit of our story because it's kind of a windy road and there'll be lots of paths and lots of lessons within it.
Uh-huh.
But we had a beautiful college romance and then we graduated and life happened and she went to Europe and I stayed here and I was working in the entertainment industry and we knew we were going to get married. So I flew out there and I proposed to her and she said yes. And then she came back and we started living life together and it wasn't working at all.
Mm. No, I had just spent all of this time in Europe exploring and expanding my horizons and finding my way. And, you know, this young girl with a backpack traveling through Europe and trusting her intuition. And I come home and my dude hasn't changed at all. Like, who are you? And why would I be interested in coming back to a person that I've now grown and traveled the world and I'm coming back to a person who has not changed at all? And I felt like, I don't know how I'm going to do this.
Wow.
So we broke off the engagement.
Wow.
And she moved up north and we had a couple of years of on and off. And then...
Well, wait, yes. How did that make you feel?
Oh, awful. It was awful.
Devastating.
My whole life, was searching to recreate the relationship that my parents had. I was looking for my beautiful person who was going to be my wife, who we were going to create a family and live happily ever after. And she was the picture of the person in my mind that that was going to happen with.
In fact, he wrote it in his 10-year, like, for his high school pod. So when we went to his 10-year high school reunion, I opened the letter, and I'm kid you not, it was me. I read a letter that was about me from when he was in high school.
He described you perfectly.
Everything. Like, to my freckles, to my blonde hair, to my athleticism, like, everything.
Wow.
It was wild.
Wow. Hold that thought. This is... Okay, hold that thought. Do you have a book yet?
It's coming.
Okay, good. All right. So when we come back, we're going to continue on this story. Obviously, we know there's a happy ending, and more so that there's lessons not only that they learned that they share. And so you'll get to learn more about them. And you can go to janandmonica.com. And Jan is J-A-N and Monica, M-O-N-I-K-A.com, and learn even more about them. And also, you could attend or actually take one of their courses. We'll talk more about that later. A little later on, we're also going to have live music here with David Young, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
Hey guys, this is Michaela. So I'm here to tell you about the DNA Institute. If you haven't heard of it already, I wanted to let you in on it because it completely changed my life. A few years ago, I was 30 pounds overweight. I wanted a career, good friends, a loving family, and financial success, and I didn't have any of it, so I ate. Within 6 months, the DNA Institute treatment not only helped me lose the 30 pounds, it also rebalanced my hormones, healed my metabolic and digestive system, and made my higher functioning brain so loud it became impossible to overeat when I was full. Don't we all want that? So many of my friends and family turned to the Institute after they saw my success. All of them lost their desired weight, ranging from 8 to 60 pounds. I found this to be so different than anything I'd ever tried before, and it was easier than anything I'd ever done. It's not a supplement or a diet pill. It's a genuine, doctor-prescribed, custom medical treatment made just for you. It doesn't matter what your situation is or how much weight you have to lose, I believe the Institute will get you to your goal. My experience is that this is more than just a weight loss system. It's a biohack to a better way of looking, feeling, and living. When I started, I had never heard of the DNA Institute, but the fact that they've been in Beverly Hills since 1982 gave me a real peace of mind. Now that you've heard of them, click on the DNA ad at lifechangesshow.com and get your customized formula started today. Change your life like I changed mine.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course, our guests, Jan and Monica Zanz. Boy, talk about cliffhanger. And then?
Well, so we had a couple years apart.
Oh, wow.
And so you remember she went to Europe and grew, so I had my own European experience.
Oh, you said, I'm going to Europe.
I'm going to Europe.
Really? Good for you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I also started dating someone else. So, you know, that kicks him out of the picture for a little bit.
Wow.
To go explore and expand.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, my heart was broken. You asked how I felt. I had a broken heart. Yeah. So I went somewhere so that I could try and heal and write and just grow. And then I came back to the United States and had a different phone number and different information, and she hunted me down.
I found him. Good
really?
Thing about good sons is they stay in contact with their moms. So I found his mom and I found him and I said, I want to give it a try. And he said, are you sure?
Wow.
You know, you have to qualify my answer now.
Wow.
Well, more than that, we started dating for a few months and then she actually asked me to marry her.
Oh,
I didn't want to have to have him go through it again.
That's great.
Poor thing.
My answer was, are you sure? And then we got married.
We did it.
And then we got married,
and then
she wasn't sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And, Okay. I was going to ask you before you went there, this whole, you know, her dating somebody else, your heart being broken, and then you going to Europe and having your experience, did that ultimately end up being a good thing for you, Jan?
Well, so we choose that all of it's a good thing, because okay. look at where we are right now.
Right, right. So that's right. So that's what I'm asking is, like, if you hadn't gone through that, then you couldn't have, you couldn't be who you are now, right?
100%.
Okay.
I mean, that's really, that's the thing that, that's one of the things that we teach people all the time.
Yeah.
So we talk about relationships. And yes, of course, when we talk about relationships, we talk about relationships to people.
Yeah.
But we also talk about relationships to how do you relate to money?
Ah.
How do you relate to time?
Yes.
Because some people, their relationship to time is, I don't have enough time.
Yeah. And some people are always late to plays and things.
I was going
to
say, it depends on when the play starts.
Right.
And if you like them enough to say, I'll wait.
Yeah, right. Clearly.
And so another thing on how do we relate to things in our past?
Mm.
And do we relate to them like with regret? Do we relate to them as, I can't believe you did that to me?
Mm.
So we choose to relate to it as, what was the lesson? What was the blessing?
Mm.
And how did it get us to where we are right now, which we experience as a blessing?
This is so good because, okay, so I'm glad you said what you said in the way that you said it. There are people right now who are missing a relationship or they might have just broken up and they're heartbroken, especially around this time of year, Valentine's and all that. And so this gives hope to that heartbrokenness might actually be the thing you need, but it won't be unless what?
Unless you choose it to be a blessing. If you choose, if you look for the lesson.
Mm.
You were looking at me. Did you want to answer that one?
Well, I wanted to say two things. One is about the lenses, the way we look at life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wear glasses that say bad things happen to me, then everything that you see around you will continually show you and validate your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Your perspective creates your reality. That's what we tell our clients and people. Your perspective creates your reality. So if you're looking through the lens of bad things happen, I've been broke up with, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with them, you'll keep perpetuating that.
Yeah. Kind of like Snapchat. They're filters.
Yeah. But fortunately in Snapchat, it only lasts for moments. And a breakup lasts for a very long time for many people. So the great thing is that people, when they start seeing, okay, let me take my glasses off and see if there's another perspective to consider. So like Jan said, what is the blessing? What is the gift? Because if you rush to get to the blessing, we call that like spiritual bypass. We're bypassing the experience so that we don't have to feel the pain or the emotional experience. And then we just logically justify what happened and move on. And then we go finding our next relationship super excited. And then the same person with the same fear shows up the first or second week of the relationship when one thing doesn't go the way that you thought it would. And it's like, oh, no, here I am again. Perspective creates my reality again.
Mm. And so since you mentioned that relationships about money and people and jobs and all that, same thing, right? So, so for those who are without money right now, then there may be a gift in this moment for them.
There may be a gift. There may be a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we actually were just talking with a client this morning about their relationship to money.
Mm.
And their relationship was, there's never enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe sound a little silly. But we, in the conversation, we personified money and like, how does money feel about it? And what we got to was they were talking about how money would feel like never good enough, because when money shows up, it's never enough.
Oh.
And if you're in a relationship with someone and if you're never enough and you wouldn't want to be around that person.
Yeah.
So we shared with them, how are you relating to money? Be grateful for money that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe more will show up.
And tell money, the personified experience or expression of it, tell money what you want from it.
Yeah.
Tell money how you cherish it. Tell money what you appreciate about it so that it both knows how to serve as well as knowing that you actually acknowledge its existence and you appreciate it.
And one thing's very important about that, and be in action. Don't just talk to money, but get in action as well to create more.
You have to go on a date with money.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
Well, and possibly going on a date to take care of yourself. You know, when you break up with someone, it's like, I don't have to sit at home and wallow in it. And this brings up the second point I was going to mention, which is something called compassionate self-forgiveness. So we're really good at forgiving your friend for not showing up at the play because you realize that at the end of it, well, we actually had a great time and we were able to connect and it was great.
Yeah.
But inside of you, there was a judgment of your friend, like, ugh, what I could have said was, you're a jerk, you always do this to me, and why do you keep doing this to me? And then inside of you, you feel the second part of that, which is, ugh, I feel bad that I'm judging my friend because I don't know what their circumstance was that caused them to be in that position.
Or I put myself second. And now how do I feel about being put second to what I really wanted to do was to go to the play? And the beauty of, in particular to me, that I was in balance with, I really felt okay with it, which is what you all, what, this is the conversation we're having, because then you know, right? Then you know you're in a good place. You're good. Because the opposite side of, like, the money thing, Mr. Money, you know, if a lot of money comes in, depending on the relationship they have with money, go ahead, Monica. They can't see you say it. Yeah,
they'll throw it all away. Yeah, exactly. You're nailing it on the head. And if you relate,
do we have a couple more hours to talk about this?
Right. Yes. No. Just come back tomorrow.
Okay. Great. Yes.
Well, we don't have a
overnight
show, but we'll.
No, but the great thing about knowing that and reacting to things in a way that has you become aware. The more awareness you have of how you see things, how you relate to them, and how you treat yourself about how you relate to them, the more freedom you have, the more choices you have, the more you can adjust to the scenario. So in the example of our clients this morning, they feel like that's the condition of their life. So they're trying to fix the problem, but they're not recognizing this could also be an opportunity for you two to come together and look at new ways of how to create in life, which then could have a financial reward. But if you're only fixing the problem, then what you're going to do is go out to get a job or go out to do something to get the money, as opposed to, oh, it's bringing us together to think in new ways.
Wow. It's back to what you were saying at the beginning of the show, Monica, is that it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So let's take the money because it's easier for some people than relationships. But so take the money. Should they win the lottery? You just know that they're going to lose it. You just know. There's no way, because of the pattern and the relationship they have with it, right? Or if somebody gives them money or they're just going to, and if they get a great job, if depending on the relationship, like, that you just know that they're going to
do something to self-sabotage,
exactly.
Do something to stop, do something because I'm not worthy of it. I'm not good enough. I don't matter. I can't have it. I don't get to have
I'll jump in and speak to it because this is a big part of my story. You know, I had co-founded a big internet company and I was retired way too young. And in fact, a friend of mine after the first crash, before the second one, said, you know, you didn't piss it away, you shared it away. But now looking back, everything else was more valuable than me. So my giving it away was rationalized as I want to help people, I want to make them happy, but it was very much that now looking back, I didn't have the self-worth to acquire and maintain. So I was trying to give it to someone more worthy than me.
Well, and then when you didn't have it because you had the pattern, you could have the experience of, see, I gave it away. It's not my fault. So then you didn't have the self-blame and the unworthiness hand in hand.
Yeah, you're right. Well said.
You know, a lot of times in our coaching, people will bring us a situation, and what we'll do is we'll look underneath it and we'll go, well, what's the pattern here? Because so often someone will have a situation like you just described with money, but that's just the device that's triggering the irrational belief or the limiting belief. And so often people will say, I'm really nervous in a relationship, or I'm very nervous in a relationship. I'm very insecure. And we'll go, okay, well, let's pull that out of the relationship. Let's look at other areas in your life. So it's not just how you relate to the person. How do you relate to your job? How do you relate to this? How do you relate to that? And so
it's usually the same.
Usually the way you do one thing is how you do everything.
I hate that phrase, and it keeps coming up. I don't hate very much in my life, but yeah, because I look at some things that I do really crappy, and I think I don't do everything crappy, but it's the way I approach the crappy things.
Well, and have you ever forgiven yourself for judging yourself for doing it crappy the first time or the second time or the third time? Because if you forgive you, then the possibility of you saying, oh, I'm not so bad. Like, we're good at forgiving others. Oh, you did me wrong? Okay, well, it wasn't so bad. I forgive you. But when it comes to, I'm going to forgive myself for what? People don't understand. You hear yourself say, I forgive you to someone else. They hear you say it.
Yeah.
And they receive it and accept it.
Yeah.
We don't hear ourselves say it.
What about me? Yeah, interesting.
So that's an opportunity.
Maybe you don't do it crappy. Maybe you do it perfectly. And you do it perfectly well enough for it to get by because you like to do other things more and you put your attention in other places.
Okay, yeah, you have to come back tomorrow.
It's how you relate to it.
I love it. I love it. I'm so enjoying this conversation. Again, if there's one thing that we all have is relationships, whether it's the teller at the bank. Do they still have tellers at the bank?
I don't know.
The gas attendant, do they still have? I'm dating myself. Hold on. So this is so important. I'm loving what you're sharing. And I'm actually grateful to Miles Berkowitz for introducing us. So thank you, Miles Berkowitz. So when we come back, we're going to get to talk a little bit more with Jen and Monica Zanz and find out about how you two could get to learn from their work and their lessons and how they've helped other people and can help you as well. You can go to Jan and Monica, Monica.com. And that's Jan, J-A-N, and Monica, M-O-N-I-K-A.com. In the next segment, we're going to have also Dorothy Donahue join us for our Ask Dorothy segment. And then, of course, David Young with live music here at Studio NoHo. All on the Life Changes when we come back after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
And we're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guests, Jan and Monica Zanz. They are, as you can tell, life coaches, relationship coaches, and they're spiritual psychologists. And you're in a relationship, you have three beautiful kids, and you have a life of your own where you relate with other things and other people and all of that, and now you're sharing from that place, and what a beautiful thing to do. What can people experience, which I imagine is more of the same, but what can they experience when they get to work with you?
Well, we love to create content. So on YouTube, we have weekly shows, actually bi-weekly. We have a show called Relationship 911. Then go to YouTube, you can search for Jan and Monica, you'll find us there. Mm-hmm. And if you go to janandmonica.com, you'll actually find everything there as well. Mm-hmm. And if someone is interested in doing one-on-one coaching with us, mm-hmm. at Jan and Monica, they can see how they can fill out a form and contact us. Mm-hmm. We respond to everybody. Mm-hmm. And we also recently created an e-course, mm-hmm. called the Relationship Program,
How convenient.
Yes. and where we basically shoved all of the lessons, shoved us in.
We shoved it in there.
That's not the word I wanted. We lovingly present. It's a
deep dive.
We said we had so much that we wanted to share from our own story and all the lessons that we learned, how we navigated our relationship, how we went from almost divorced to our version of happily ever after. Mm. And there's like 7 hours of video and 15 worksheets. And it's just,
you can take a bath in all of your relationship needs. It'll be so fun.
Nice.
So those are some of the things that people can find to help support them in their relationships.
I'm still processing the take a bath in all your relationship needs. I'm just seeing like drowning in it almost. But no,
there's
and
a
then
sponsorship
floating,
angle in there somewhere.
Bath. Floating up with the bubbles.
Exactly. It's a bubble
you
bath.
You saw Mary Poppins. Come on. Yes. Who doesn't love a bath?
So janandmonica.com.
Yeah.
And as simple as that. And then yes, I personally have gotten to watch some of the videos, and we have your introductory channel trailer on our webpage that we created for you all so that people could also click from there onto your YouTube page and all of that. So good stuff. And do you do like live like workshops with groups? Because that sounds like fun.
We do.
Okay.
So throughout the year, we have different events that we host. Some of them are very small and intimate groups. Some of them are on a platform that's video conferencing called Zoom, where you can see everybody's face and interact with them. And sometimes we have live workshops that you can check on our website for upcoming events where we dive deep into the emotional material so that we can heal and rise up and better ourselves.
Is that stuffed with all the lessons too?
No, that is gently and beautifully served on a golden platter.
Well said, Monica.
Hearts and butterflies.
Well said, Monica.
You know, relationships are things to navigate. And some of the work is navigating and some of the work is opening to receive.
And as we're closing, I'm glad you said that too, because there are always lessons, right? For everybody.
So many.
Yeah.
And so many.
It's really, are you looking for it?
Yeah.
You know, it's we like we said before, what you're looking for, I don't know if we did say this exactly this way, but what you're looking for is what you're going to see.
Mm.
And so like going to the gym and doing an exercise over and over again, you can build certain muscles. And we teach people to build the muscle of looking for the gift, looking for the lesson. Mm. And when you look for it, it's there and it's often a blessing.
Well, it's been a blessing having the two of you here. Thank you so much. This has been so much fun.
Thank you so much for having us.
Jan and Monica Zanz. That's Zands. Wonderful. So with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Yeah, but I wish the audience could have seen the look that Dorothy gave me on that last, we look for the gift.
Oh, okay.
That
there's more to that. And the story continues.
Yes.
We need the cameras.
Yes, we do. It's coming. Dear Dorothy, my name is Janet, and I will be all alone again on Valentine's Day this year. This makes me so sad as I feel I am ready for a relationship, and I want someone to share this very special day with me. My latest relationship ended after 8 months when I asked for a commitment, and he said he just isn't ready to settle down right now. I want to be able to celebrate this special day with someone I love.
Janet, I'm so excited for you. You have an opportunity to create the most perfect Valentine's Day ever. Instead of longing for love outside of you, you could celebrate loving you. This could be your opportunity to discover what love truly means to you. I believe that this is the perfect time for you to create your best Valentine's Day ever by making this Valentine's Day about you instead of making it about someone that you're trying to have a serious, permanent, and committed relationship with. Let's celebrate your commitment and love to you. Buy yourself some chocolates or a bottle of wine and our special outfit and celebrate you. In fact, I believe that whether someone is married or single, it would be awesome for everyone to celebrate loving themselves unconditionally this is Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is all about love. So what if we start a new way of celebrating it by taking a couple of hours or the entire evening to take time out and think about how great we are and how much we love ourselves? I believe this could be an important exercise for all of us, and we could commit to reinterpreting what Valentine's means in our lives by making it a special time devoted to loving ourselves. And Janet? In terms of a traditional interpretation of Valentine's Day, I believe that you will find that someone who is committed to you and who loves you once you're totally committed to yourself and you love yourself unconditionally.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be back here on the Life Changes Show with our musical guest, David Young, right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guests, Jan and Monica Zanz. And joining us in the studio is a musician who plays not just one, well, sometimes one, but two Renaissance flutes at the same time in harmony. He has recorded over 60 albums and sold over a million copies. He's a Renaissance flutist and a musical healer. Welcome, David Young, to the show.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and we should thank Samuel Kivash for introducing us.
The world should thank Samuel
Kivash. Yes, actually, Samuel Kivash is a wonderful person. And we know you are traveling through town on your world tour. So far, in the past 4 years, you've done over 400 concerts. Is that right?
Yeah, 400 meditation events that are called A Portal Between Heaven and Earth.
Uh-huh. And so it's not just come hear music, but something else obviously is...
Well, I open people's minds in the first half hour because, you know, our minds are kind of like umbrellas. They're much more useful if they're open, you know, unless you're James Bond. Right? And so I tell people what other people have experienced at my events. Like, for example, a woman in Syracuse, New York, a few years ago shared on a Friday night that Martin Luther King showed up to her during the meditation while I was playing my flutes. Mm. And she shared this in front of 40 people in the group. Mm. 2.5 days later on Monday morning, she posted on my Facebook page that her boss called her into his office on Monday morning and put her in charge of the Martin Luther King Fund at their company, and she didn't know there was a Martin Luther King Fund at their company.
Oh, wow.
So you know what that's called?
No, what's that called?
That's called normal, because that happens every night at my events.
Wow. That's called normal. I like that. You started playing at least one of the flutes, or one flute at a time, at around when?
When I was in third grade.
No, we didn't sound like that in third grade. I remember playing what we called the recorder. That's a recorder, right?
This is a plastic recorder, the same thing that kids learn in the third grade.
Oh, wow.
I play the larger sizes more often because the larger sizes have a much warmer sound, more like a healing, a softer resonance, you know? So,
wait, you picked up the recorder like all of us kids did, but you never left it. You just...
I kept playing it, yeah.
You kept playing it.
I'm definitely the pride and joy of my third grade teacher. <yeah. laughs>
Education works. when did you know that something else was happening to people when they were listening to your music? Or was it happening to you too?
I felt relaxation. I had a kind of tough childhood, so I found that music helped me kind of escape from my childhood,
okay. You know?
And so I would focus so much on the music that I was playing in my room, I would forget all the craziness that was going on in my childhood, you know? And so my own healing from my own music later became healing for other people. I played in rock bands as a guitar player for years and years, and I actually lived just a couple of blocks away from here when I moved to Los Angeles in 1990. And I started playing the flutes of Venice Beach in 1990 with a woman named Lisa who played the harp. We had a little group called Celestial Winds. We made a tape and we sold 10,000 copies of that tape at Venice Beach over the following 2 years.
Wow.
And then we started to play at art festivals all over the country. We did 45 art festivals. That meant 45 weekend art festivals all over the country.
Wow.
We sold 100,000 CDs
together. That's like all
year. Pretty much. The 4 weeks I had off, I made a new CD.
Okay.
You know, wow. And so then she and I split up at the end of 1994, and then I went solo. I just played music with my tracks, and I continued to travel around the country, and I sold over a million CDs, and every month over a million people listened to my music for healing in all the hospitals, wellness centers, spas.
Wow.
So over 25,000 healers use my music every day in the United States and Canada.
How did it go from playing one recorder to two?
You know, I get asked that all the time.
Never mind.
When we started to play, we only knew six songs together.
And
the harpist.
Oh, okay.
Back in 1990. So we had to play those same six songs like 30 or 40 times a day. And if you're a musician, that's also called torture.
Okay.
And during the afternoon,
called normal, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You play your songs over and over and over again.
That's true. So during the afternoon, you know, after we'd played those songs so many times, it would be so boring for me. And whenever anybody would walk up, they would say, oh, look at that beautiful woman and that beautiful harp, because she had this long, dark, flowing hair and these white linen dresses. And she looked like a goddess there with this beautiful Celtic harp. I was like the invisible man. But during the afternoon, when I was bored out of my brain, I would pick up a second flute to see if I could play two at one time just to break up the boredom.
Uh-huh.
And every time I did...
Ah.
Whoever was walking by said, hey, look at that guy playing two flutes at one time. And then she was invisible. And that was the only reason why I did it. I was the middle child starving for attention. And that's how I got I would have never done all this without the two flutes.
Okay. Well, actually, before we talk about, you know, other interesting things, why don't we actually get to, because that already is intriguing enough. This first piece you're going to play, is it with one or two flutes?
I'm going to start off with one flute.
Okay.
And then I'll go into the two flutes. And I'll maybe do like a minute and a half or 2 minutes.
Okay. Does this piece have a name?
As a matter of fact, it does. Hold on.
It's called Normal, right?
It's called The Ancient of Days.
The Ancient of Days. Okay. Yeah. Here is David Young performing The Ancient of Days live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo. Thank you. David Young, thank you. I don't know how do you describe that? What did we just experience?
I call it beautiful music.
You call it normal. I know, I get it, but how did you develop the style?
Well, I started playing one flute at a time like a normal person.
Yes.
Right. And while I was playing at Venice Beach, you know, playing for 6 hours a day.
No. How did you develop the style of the music? Like, why did you choose this kind of music?
Well, I've been meditating for 36 years. Huh. And so I found that, you know, after 5 or 10 minutes of meditating, that's when your meditation really starts, because your mind is so used to moving around and planning and thinking of all these things that, you know, the first 10 minutes of your meditation is a warm-up. Nothing really great happens in the first 10 minutes. Mm. But after 15, 20, 25
stop,
minutes.
Right?
That's, yeah. Yeah. Have you ever heard that joke? I tried meditation for 5 minutes and it didn't work, you know? So after 15, 20 minutes is when your mind starts to slow down and there's more space in between your thoughts. Mm. In that space is where we can receive. Because while your mind is busy going on like here, it's difficult to receive because your mind is still moving and working and having thoughts going through your head. And so when I started to produce these albums, I wanted the music to feel, give people that instant peace, like of the way I feel after I'm meditating for 30 minutes.
Interesting.
If you felt that peace right off the bat, or maybe it took a minute, you know. That's the level of frequency and vibration I want to have in my music that I share with the world. You know?
Well, you can learn more about David or get his music at davidyoungmusic.com. As a matter of fact, you could also see him live. You're doing something coming up, actually.
Yeah,
right?
I just did a big art exhibit. I'm also a painter. I had an art exhibit in Beverly Hills a few nights ago. But on this Saturday night, I'm going to be opening up for White Sun at the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church at 3300 Wilshire Boulevard here in L.A. And the doors open at 7. I'll be playing at 7:30, and then White Sun starts at 8 o'clock.
That's exciting. Congratulations on getting that. And I'm holding a book. You know, obviously, you're a musician, and you're more than a musician. Your music is also about healing. And you are an artist, like a painter, and you're an author. The book I'm holding is The True Story of Jesus and His Wife, Mary Magdalene, Their Untold Truth Through Art and Evidential Channeling. We need to speak about evidential channeling real quick before we hear another piece.
Sure. Well, evidential channeling just means that there's evidence.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
What a concept, right?
Is it me or...
You know, when I start my events, I always tell people, now repeat after me, this is not as complicated as I thought it was. Okay, so people say this is not as complicated as I thought it was.
So in other words, people, you've had experiences over and over again where people are either channeling the same thing or saying the same thing. Like, where do you get the evidence?
I've done 400 events in 4 years, right? And I've been keeping statistics. And over 7,000 people who have come to my event have shared when the meditation was over that they had a conversation or spiritual travel with Buddha, Krishna, Moses, Jesus, Archangel Michael, Mother Mary, Saint Germain, Gandhi, one of the other archangels, Archangel Metatron or Archangel Gabriel, or had an experience with one of their loved ones who has now passed on into the heavenly realm. Like a grandmother or a dad or a friend from childhood who died young. And so people actually have an 80% chance, because I have statistics, and you know how people are about math, right? They have an 80% chance of having one of those experiences when they come to my events. And when I started doing these events, you know, I thought I was just a good flute player. I didn't expect people to be sharing these experiences that I never had, because even though I'd been meditating, you know, over 30 years, when I started doing these events, I was hoping people would see the inner purple light or the white light in their inner vision and feel some kind of inner peace. But it was so shocking and surprising to me that every single night at every event that I ever did, there were 5 or 10 or 15 people that shared that their mom or their dad or their grandmother had showed up to them while I was playing the flute in meditation. Wow. And can you imagine how weird that would be, thinking that people are just going to relax, you know, and maybe feel some inner peace?
And maybe see a light or something. And,
right.
But there's, yeah, wow.
And
yeah.
So I learned that all this stuff was possible by coming to my own events. You know, it's kind of silly, but it's true. It really is. And then after 6 months, something really happened, really weird happened, because I'd gotten used to the fact that all these people had had experience with their loved ones.
Which did you believe at first?
I didn't believe what these people were sharing at first.
Yeah.
But every night...
You're like, why are all these crazies coming to my concerts? And then you realize you're the crazy one because call it normal.
Well, you know what? It's kind of like if you went back 500 years, everybody believed that the world was flat. You know, you could actually be arrested for saying the world was round, and that's a fact, okay? Uh-huh. So just imagine the first guy has traveled across the ocean, and he came back. And let's say there's this rumor, you know what? The earth isn't flat. And everybody would go, no, you must be kidding me, you know? So it just sounded like a crazy rumor that crazy people would share. Uh-huh. Right, and eventually so many people went there and came back. It's like, holy cow, it must really be real. There really must be, you know, land on the other side, and the world is not flat. So it took time. And so it took time for me to believe, after hearing all of these people sharing these experiences, that this was real. And I was talking with a famous channeler at that time, whose name was Bob Murray, and he was helping me to understand why people were having all these experiences, because I never had that experience, you know? And then after 6 months, the weirdest thing you can imagine happened. 3 people all saw Jesus standing in the same spot in the room. And I grew up in a Jewish family, so how do you wrap your mind around something like that, you know? So I called up Bob Murray and I said, you know, 3 people saw Jesus standing in the same spot in the room. Can you channel Jesus? Because I think we should have a talk, you know?
Wow.
Because, you know, musicians are all a little bit self-centered, you know, and from my self-centered point of view, I was thinking, if these 3 people saw him standing in the room, that means he must have seen me playing.
Uh-huh. And so look, you wanted to...
That would look good on my resume.
You wanted, you know, a testimonial.
Yeah, right.
Even Jesus comes to my concert.
Oh, my gosh. What's going to happen next, you know? So I called up Bob Murray. I said, Bob, can you channel Jesus? Because, you know, if 3 people saw him in the room, we should have a talk, you know? And he said, I can't guarantee it, but I can try. So after a suspenseful minute of me waiting to see if, you know, if this is really going to happen, Bob said, okay, I've connected with Jesus. What do you want to ask him? And my mind went blank. I couldn't think of anything to say. All I could think was, this is so weird.
Yeah, this is so weird.
You know, what Jewish kid do you ever know that's going to talk to Jesus on the phone, right? So all I could say was, I don't even know what to say because this is so strange. It's so weird. And he said, I can understand that. I grew up in a Jewish family also. You know, honestly, that's what he said to me the first time. And I said, so can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Wait, is this in the book?
Oh, yeah, this is in the book.
Is it in the book? Okay, yeah. We're going to have to let people read the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling it gets more
interesting.
Yeah, okay. So with that, do we get to experience one more piece? I hope.
You know what? Absolutely.
What is this going to be called?
This is called The Return to Forever.
Okay. Here is David Young performing The Return of Forever, live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo. David Young. Thank you so much. Learn more about David Young at davidyoungmusic.com. That's where one could get CDs and books and come learn about your performances and more about you and more about everybody else you connect with. What a pleasure it was to have you here.
My pleasure.
Thank you again, David Young. And once again, a big thank you to Jan and Monica Zanz. Well, this is our show. This has been a very special show for us. Let's thank Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so good.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank you also to BBS Radio Network, our program managers. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.